regeneration through education.
Let's run down the halls, speak out of turn, break a few rules, and have an honest conversation of why schools need to change. Join me, Sal Gordon, and other rule breakers as we dig into what needs to change, why and how we can pick up the pace of education reform. I think the school bell is about to ring, so let's get ready to get real. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our Green Educator Network podcast series called Regeneration Through Education. My name is Sal Gordon, and I'm the head of teaching and learning at Green School Bali. To tell you the truth, I'm the sweaty, dirty jungle principal that has spent a pretty full day in the jungle running around. I started off painting, and then I've been in early years classrooms and with visitors and in budget meetings. I've done a whole heap of things today, and probably this is by far one of the most fun things I've done today. So thanks for joining us. You know, at Green School, we believe that the purpose of education is to prepare people and communities for the future. We believe that education is to build a culture that moves towards a sustainable future. And it's teachers that make this happen in schools every day. I believe that teachers are superheroes, and the educators at Green School Bali are some of the most top, innovative, awesome, caring, intelligent teachers on the planet. Our teachers create what we call transformative learning experiences every day. One such educator who lives and breathes regeneration through education is Laura Wainwright, who is one of our middle school superhero educators. And we're super lucky to have Laura here to talk about how she is educating for sustainability. Welcome, Laura.
Hello. Thank you so much for that introduction. Yeah, pack
great. Yeah, Laura, it's great hanging out with you. We're nearly in the same building, I think, aren't we?
I'm all the way down by the river. I'm in the environmental science lab.
So I'm in your home, and you've gone down to where what was my first home at Green School. Middle school is down there. Yeah. So it's a real pleasure
to
hang out with you.
It's hard to find somewhere peaceful in here.
I give up on trying to find somewhere that's quiet. But yours might be a little bit more quiet. I'm just wandering around here going, oh, yeah, there's still a lot happening here at this school. Nearly an hour since it's closed for the day. Let's get into it. Laura, like I said, we're talking about regeneration through education, and we'd love to hear about what you're doing. But first of all, it's really important for everyone else who's here, because I know a little bit about you, but let's get to know you a little bit. Let's go back to when you were a student, when you were a kid. What's a favourite memory that you have of school when you're a child?
This is a great question, because I have so many, I'm very lucky to have so many really lovely memories. The first thing my mind goes to is sport. Like, I was absolutely sport mad when I was at school. Like, I played every single sport you could imagine. Super competitive. Loved getting involved with that. But then, like,
you're the Green School. You're the Green School mascot, actually.
Supporter. I absolutely am. I'm still waiting for my costume.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah, so that's carried with you. So sports, one thing. Anything else? What are other favourite memories?
Yeah, I had a teacher called Mr. Lockhart. And he was my secondary English teacher. Mm. And the one thing that I absolutely remember is the way he used to read poetry, the way he used to read the novels that we were exploring in our English classes, and the way he would adopt different characters and create magic through the way he shared them with us. Mm. And it's just really instilled an absolute love of reading. And I just, you know, still love to get lost in a story.
My English literature teacher was Mr. Broyer. So hello, Mr. Broyer. But he was probably one of my favorite memories too. And even though I went on to a biology, science, psychology, chemistry, and then became a maths and science teacher, I think that connection with that teacher and the spark that he lit for the love of literature is carried through more than 30 years for me. I often think of that person. It's great. Teachers change lives, don't they? Or don't
for
we?
For sure.
We do. So if you're a teacher, you're changing lives. Yeah.
I was in, we were doing drop everything and read this morning in middle school, which we do every Thursday. And so we get 30 minutes at the start of the day to just drop everything and read a book. And I'm reading the same book as a couple of students in the class, which we like to discuss. And I was reading it and I silently, and I get to a part and I burst, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And one of my students goes to me, "Even Laura, it's just a book."
Oh yeah, but
and I was like, "You have no idea." So we've still got some work to do.
Books change lives, and special teachers that like that. Yeah. All right, let's flip it. Come on, let's go the other way. What's something that you think that you learnt at school that was a little bit of a waste of time?
A waste of time. Definitely a more difficult experience for me at school was, many people I work with will definitely say I have a lot of energy, right? And I was no different when I was a student. So I needed less. I needed to be able to move and be engaged in order to get the best out of me. And I, year nine, in the UK system, you have to choose what subjects you're going to continue with. And I chose history as one of these subjects. It was a battle between history and performing arts. And, you know, the discussions at home, it was like, history is more academic and, you know, it might give you more opportunities. And so I chose history. And I remember sitting in the classroom, again, going back to a teacher, but on the opposite end of the coin, right? And this teacher used to deliver instructions with her eyes closed. And she used to say, "Okay, everybody, turn to page 3. Read the passage and answer the questions." And this was a repetitive thing where we had these textbooks, we read the passage about some point in history, and we answered questions. And it was like a repetitive cycle. And I think I lasted 2 weeks.
Yeah, right.
And
I was like, get into adios. Performing arts after that?
I did. I went and joined performing arts, and I'm very grateful for that.
Right. So that's you as a student. Let's fast forward and let's talk about you as a teacher. Give us a short intro, like a little bit of a bio about you as an educator. Where did you get trained? Where did you start teaching? That sort of stuff.
Okay. I started teaching. Actually, my first teaching experience was teaching English as a foreign language, actually in Bali, when I was 21 years old. So I worked at a private language school in Denpasar, and I worked there for a couple of years, and then decided that I wanted to pursue it further and went back to university and got my teaching degree in English literature.
You taught in the UK for a while?
I taught in the UK. I taught in secondary schools for 3 years. I taught in a special educational needs school for a year, which was by far one of the most rewarding experiences. I taught in a university in Australia. I taught in for an NGO in Sumba, an island in Indonesia. I'm here.
Right. And so now we're here. Why grad school? When did you join, and what was your motivation to come to grad school?
My motivation, like I said, I was working when I was younger. I was working in the private language school in Denpasar, and I met someone, a friend, and she was working at Green School at the time, Emily Ferguson.
Yeah.
And she said, "Come and check out my school." And I came over to Green School. And first of all, you know, absolutely enamored by the architecture. And I was like, "What is this? I've never seen anything like it." And my first experience at Green School was at an assembly in the Sandcap. And I walked in and there was a band playing. And there were children from kindergarten all the way up to high school rocking out. And parents, everybody rocking out in this room. And
you
this is
loved
what...
it.
This is what an assembly was, and I was like, I need to be a part of something like this. This is not anywhere close to what I've experienced, you know, in a school. Over my career, I've kind of had little mini connections with Green School. When I was working in Sumba, I brought a group of students to sustainable solutions.
Yeah.
And then I was lucky enough once to come and see some green stones. And
so Sustainable Solutions, everyone out there, is a community event, often student-led, student-run, about activated learning opportunities that have sustainability outcomes all across the school, and our students do that. And at Greenstones, check out YouTube Greenstone, check out what our grade 12s do with their capstone projects. So that's translation. Yeah.
Sorry.
So you had a lot of connection points.
Exactly. Yeah. And so when the opportunity arose and there was a position available, I thought, I'm going to go for it. Here I am. That was 5 years ago. That was in 2019. I arrived here. Yeah,
just before COVID. Yeah,
I know. Yeah,
yeah.
I did.
Yeah, the fun days. Yeah, cool.
Oh gosh.
So Laura, we know heaps about you now. That's great. That's an awesome platform. Hey, you're in middle school, what we call middle school literacy and thematics. But I know that you teach much, much more than I think most of our literacy middle school teachers are real generalists, and they can bring their own passions and their own skills. I remember teaching in the middle school. That's where I started. That I actually did teach every subject across middle school, including Bahasa Indonesian, which was a little bit of a failed experiment, I think. I think it was Google Translate and me teaching. But as a middle school teacher and as a generalist, you get to do a lot of fun things. And there are challenges, but you do get to do a lot of fun things. What are some of the fun things about teaching in the middle school that you found?
I just think the array of courses I get to teach, like I just some of my top courses that I've got, got to teach this year, like Term 1 in Literacy, I taught a book called The Bone Sparrow, which is by an author called Zeina Freilon, and it's based on the Rohingya refugee crisis. And the book is based, set through a 9-year-old refugee's eyes. And it's set in an Australian immigration, a detention center, sorry.
What grade is that?
It's an incredible story.
Grade 8.
That's grade 7. Grade 7.
Yeah.
And the best part of that course, I think, was working with the iHub, and the characters in the story had these precious boxes. And it showed just the very little things they could bring with them from their home, and the things they did choose that evoke those feelings of the memories, you know, the precious memories they needed to continue being hopeful in the situation they were in. Yeah. And so we all built our own precious boxes, and it's.
Did you build one too?
I did. Right. Yeah. And
yeah, that's awesome.
That was a highlight. Another course that I absolutely loved was Term 1 Thematics, which is called Everyone Can Be an Activist and Creating an Army of Upstanders. And that was all about exploring with the students what activism looks like. You know, we associate it with marching through the streets, but that's not for everybody. And we explored the different types of activism and, you know, what kind of activists, what kind of change makers they wanted to be. And that kind of culminated in them developing projects within the community, such as coral restoration projects and bake sales to raise funds for Bali street mums. One group made kind of like a responsible eco lip gloss in the iHub, they got to choose what they wanted to do, and it
also not just about activism but providing an opportunity to activate. Activate activism. Oh, wow.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
cool. Yeah. Anything else?
No, yeah, I do. I've loads.
Keep talking about all the awesome things that you've taught in middle school.
Yeah, there was another course, which I absolutely, it's one of my favorite ones that we do every year with Ibulanji. And it's called Get Up, Stand Up. This is
a little bit of Bob Marley.
Exactly. We start with that every time. And it's an investigation into human rights. And we look at the Declaration of Human Rights, and we do an awesome project with Amnesty International, their Right for Rights.
Yeah,
it's incredible. Yeah. And that's something that we, you know, it's all to do with Amnesty International. We work alongside them, and they pick 4 cases. I think there's usually around 10, if I'm correct, but they select 4 for us. And yeah, the students lead a community-wide letter writing campaign for these 4 cases. cases that have human rights violations. And it's really wonderful to see students take control of that and just spread that across the community.
Just getting one of those moments, Laura, you know, often people are saying, what is educating for sustainability rather than just about sustainability? What does it actually look like? And those are three sort of awesome examples of not just educating about something, but and about something that was not even relevant to, unfortunately, kids are going to school and learning about stuff that's not relevant to their lives now or relevant to the future. But your students are coming to school and still in a literacy class with that grade 7 class, and I bet in your thematics classes with the presentations and the Write for Right stuff, they're still learning literacy skills. They're still practicing then developing what any other school is trying to impart, but they're doing it in a way that allows them to activate it, and not just activate it, but have an impact in the real world with that learning, which is what educating for sustainability is about. Which is pretty awesome. And, you know, we got you on here today because you do a lot of social justice themed education. You know, a lot of people think that green school or even sustainability is just about the environment. But, you know, environmentalism without social justice is just gardening. This is a big part of our sustainable future. The sustainable future we want to move into has a personal aspect to it, has a communal aspect, it has social justice and the way we interact as humans together. That's just as important as saving the oceans and planting more trees. And so social justice and educating for sustainability are very much the same sort of thing. Now, I've gone that little sort of intro runway because one thing that you've been doing for us for the last couple of years, 2 years, 3 years?
3 years, yeah.
3 years.
Three.
Is being the coordinator of an event that's really special to us called Voices. So Voices, everyone. In fact, that's probably the biggest intro I've ever done to something really, really specific in these podcasts. What is Voices? You get to tell everyone about it rather than me go through it. What is it? What is student? Just start with that. What is it? What's Voices?
Okay. It is my favorite event of the year. That's what it is. It's something that was born from the 1 billion rising movement, which is part of the V-Day movement, which is a campaign, global campaign to end gender-based violence. And the kind of theme for this year and last year actually was Rise for Freedom. So every February, it's on February 14th, V-Day. And it's a time where the teachers and students, they join together to create and participate in a really special performance that amplifies voices of women and other marginalized communities, sharing stories of strength, of survival, of solidarity.
It's a performance. And so it's a learning journey. I know it takes you months to put it together and to practice and rehearse. And I know you're here on Sundays. I've been here myself and you're here on Sundays practicing. And it's a learning journey for the students, but it culminates in a performance that creates a learning experience for the rest of the community. And I think that's important. So, and the event itself, if you don't mind, it's a compilation of spoken word, most of the time spoken word. There is some music and singing part of it, but really impactful spoken word. You're never bored because they're 3 to 5 minutes, sometimes 5 to 10 minutes maximum, aren't they? But they're really impactful spoken word pieces, and they do range. I think we've been doing them for 8 years, Voices.
This is the eighth performance.
This is the eighth performance, and it's quite an epic thing. What do you think students are learning through the process of being a part of Voices?
So much.
Where do you start?
Where do I start? I was speaking to someone today, and we were thinking about a lyric from one of the songs we sang last year, actually, called Beautiful Noise. by Brandi Carlile and Alicia Keys. And it says, I have a voice started out as a whisper, turned into a stream. And I think that beautifully describes the process for everyone in it, students and teachers. It's just an amazing transformation process. The students, like literally and figuratively, students, parents, find a voice teachers, to talk. Yeah, parents student, of students. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's an awesome community.
It's something that's extracurricular, let's call it. Because it's not actually in a class and kids aren't getting tested or examined or reported on it. But it becomes something that the teachers, sometimes parents, or maybe they're parents that are teachers that I've seen do it before.
Yeah.
But together, moving away from that teacher imparting knowledge, but a community of learners and a room full of people of different ages learning together, it must be pretty special. It must be a lot of hard work, though.
It is a lot of hard work, but it's when you've got a good team of
yourself
people.
Too, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Can you remember any of your most recent performance?
Ooh, I can.
Do you want to give us a little snippet?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Why not? Mine's set in a bar scene, and it goes, Friday night in a bar of corporate escapees. Scan for my clan and locate with ease. As loud as if projecting overseas, I'm met with perfumed embraces. Skin tingling with possibility. I maneuver through the barkeep stealthily before the booze gatekeeper mixing masterfully. I order and hear, this one's on me. I turn to survey this gracious benefactor. Tall, suit-clad, professional, woman attractor. Smile reeks of a courtesy text the morning after. I drop a no thanks and scuttle back to my coven. So I could continue. It carries on, and it's just this story of, you know, being approached and saying no thanks, but then this character returns and doesn't take no for the answer. And it's just, about this woman deciding, you know, can I say go away, get lost, or am I going to be unsafe if I do that? And it's, that's just one of the spoken words. But before I started kind of leading it, I was in it. So I think once when you're part of something like that, it's really hard to step away and just be be on the outside and
you're quite an amazing singer too, vocalist. And so when it comes to the musical aspects of it, you're definitely an asset to that group. You know, I'm not going to get you to sing a song.
No.
I could see you looking at me funny.
Oh, God.
Going, oh, no, he's going to ask me to
Don't
sing.
Don't you dare.
So, all right, let's dive down the rabbit hole a little bit about this. Violence against women, gender-based violence, let's call it that. How is this educating for sustainability? How is it regeneration through education?
Well, I think all just teaching for social justice in general, you know, we tell students that we're preparing them, do this because it's going to prepare you for the real world, when, you know, they're already part of the real world and they're exposed to so much through social media, you know, and I think it's important that, like, resilience is so important. And I think we build resilience by teaching for social justice. And like, I think as educators, I think we can't only, you know, teach about them, but like empower the students to act in their communities. But you just hope. Go on, sorry.
Do you ever get any kickback? Is there any ever, I mean, there's always a lot of positivity around the event. For 8 years, I've left that space as someone that's been blown away. Probably more so, to be honest, probably more so the first few times that I saw it. I was like, you know, you're blown away by a school actually doing this, you know, and a school being open to confronting this and to learn about it and to share about it and to fight against it. But is there ever been any sort of kickback about it? Is there anything people have been worried about or negative about it?
I think there are certain voices on social media that oppose movements like this. And, you know, it's sometimes it's sometimes not received well by students, by parents.
Parents.
For sure. It's just, but it's important.
Yeah.
And I will continue to
when you continue to do it, to
do
stand
it.
up.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
When you think about the learning too, we're often as educators, possibly in other schools, constrained by a curriculum where that has specific set learning outcomes, and then a curriculum plan that culminates, ends in the most fantastic experience called an exam. I'm being sarcastic. But in terms of the learning here, so this is a unit that's not actually a part of set curriculum. It's extra, and it's a learning experience for anyone that really wants to sign up for it, teachers, students. Yeah. Some of the things that they're learning in there are way beyond an academic learning outcome. We've got our own Green School skills, and we've got our I Respect values. Are there what sort of skills-based learning opportunities are embedded in the voices? And then next, maybe what are some of the values-based? Because a lot of people ask us about that too. They're like, yeah, we can do knowledge-based real easy. We've been doing that for 200 years. But when you catchphrase education, talk about skill-based learning or values-based learning, how does that look? Well, this is a great example of it. What are the skills that you think students are really upskilling on?
Definitely collaboration, critical thinking creatively.
Mm-hmm.
I think so many skills are learned. Communication, it's just building that kind of confidence to express yourself as well. And I think that's one thing we can say about students at Green School. They have this ability to communicate and express. And I think there was a colleague of mine was saying recently, just to watch students talking about social justice issues or things going on in the world, it's just very, there's a confidence there. It's very different to, you know, what you might find at other schools.
Yeah.
And I think I think events like this for the grade 11 and 12 students that take part, when we did the reflection circle at the end of our last rehearsal, it was just this gratitude of being able to be part of that process. I think, you know, you're bridging, the best thing about this performance is you're kind of bridging people's perspectives, and you're helping to build empathy, and
right,
most
values.
Important, you know, connection in our community. And yeah, I think there's so many things going on in the world right now that you sit and watch and think, what is happening? You know, when you're part of a performance like Voices and people in the audience, you end that evening like, yeah, we're raising awareness and sharing, providing a platform for the voices that maybe don't get heard as much as they need to.
So empathy, equity, integrity, taking responsibility, community, trust. I think a lot of our values are just embedded, implicit in that experience. The other thing, like I said, somewhere in there I talked about teachers here creating transformative learning experience. And, you know, when people ask me what was a school experience I had that transformed my life, it takes me a long time. And maybe it was a school trip or a camp that we went on. I don't know. I don't have a lot of transformative, but this sounds like a real transformative life experience for students. Does that,
yeah,
it must make you pretty cool, because make you feel pretty cool, because for you to be able to provide that opportunity to transform, to create a memory, for 3 years now, you've seen students go through a learning journey, come and perform. Like there's 300-400 people in the last performance.
Yeah.
And it is a real, it's professional. It's an amazing, like you could be, we should be selling tickets for a lot more than what we do. but it's pretty cool. Does that really activate you as an educator?
Absolutely. I just feel bursting with pride when every time, and I give gratitude to these people every single rehearsal. You know, I think when I first started, when I joined Voices, it was my first year of Green School, and I got said, come on, come to the audition or the read through. And I was shaking. I couldn't even hold the paper because I was shaking so much. And I think about the, you know, each year I just got more confident, and I was finding my feet and my voice. And I just feel really grateful to be able to instill those lessons that I learned. I'm so happy I can share them with students who are, I can see when they first join, you know, they're really scared, you know, speaking in front of, like you said, 400 people about topics that can be quite difficult.
Yeah.
And at the end of that, you are so tight as a group of people. And yeah, I just feel lucky, grateful, proud. Yeah, it's an amazing thing that I get to do as an educator and as a human being. Like, I really, really love it.
It's amazing. It's real transformative education, and it's such an important, social justice, such an important part of educating for sustainability and regeneration through education. I'm looking at the time. That's me looking up there at the time. I want to save a little bit of time, and I'm going to talk randomly while I look in the chat to see if there's any questions. Oh, there's no questions for you, Laura. I was hoping there'd be some really difficult questions. We had a bit of a laugh before.
Thank you, everybody.
Went live. Unless I'm not seeing any questions. No, I don't have any questions. But that's okay. I'd like to sort of finish this one off with just a little bit of fun and a teacher word association thing. So I'm going to say a word. You've got to put your teacher hat on.
Okay.
And you've got to tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. I will do that so that if there's people here live listening and they've got some questions, they've got a little bit of time now to put a question in, because I wouldn't mind going for another 5 minutes. but we can bend like bamboo and might cut this one off a little bit shorter. So teacher word association with your teacher hat on. Laura, are you ready?
I'm ready.
We'll start off really quickly. What comes to your mind when I say the word learning?
Everywhere.
Ah, good. Nature.
Interconnectedness.
Social justice.
More please.
Great. Teachers.
Exhausted. No. Important.
Exhausted. Yeah. Oh, you got that one right. Exams.
Stressful.
Yeah. Textbooks.
Oh, traumatic.
Traumatic. You've got that worst memory of school.
My history lesson. Horrible.
Open your book to page 20 and read and answer the questions. Yeah. With the teacher with her eyes closed. All right. Classrooms.
Vessels.
And you know, Voices, you create a classroom for our older member. You know, we need students at Voices to be above a certain age to come. But you can't, you create a classroom for a whole community to come to. Yeah, sorry, bit of a... what about, last word, the future?
Hours.
Yeah, okay. I didn't get a question. Oh, no, I did get a question.
Oh.
Yeah, it is a good one, okay. It's actually come from... Desi, but I think it's from Nick Lane. It is from Nick Lane. Yeah. Laura, do you feel encouraged to bring your whole true and authentic self into the classroom? And if so, do you see this as providing fertile soil for younger learners to discover the layers within their own identity?
Okay, so...
Do you feel encouraged to bring your whole true and authentic self into the classroom? Yeah,
I think. Well, what do you think, Sal?
Yeah, I love it.
I come to work dressed in sunflower dungarees, and you can hear my voice echoing from the top of the heart school.
Yeah.
One of my students said to me the other day, Ibu Laura, your vocabulary, it's unique. You know, they some days they think I've got a screw loose. But I think I bring a lot of joy, and that's my main aim here. And to fertilize the soil, I think, yeah, because I think my main aim as an educator is to build rapport and to, you know, build relationships with my students, because I think that the foundation of learning is to feel safe and in your learning space. And I think that is my main aim in a classroom. Yeah. I want my students to feel safe. I want them to feel happy. I want them to say to me, that was a fun lesson. You know, like I do think we underestimate the power of enthusiasm. And yeah, I think Green School allows me to be my absolute authentic self. And I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, you're
thank you for putting up with me.
Your absolute authentic self is really awesome, and Green School is really lucky to have you with us. That's about all the time we've got today. I will close with my normal little spiel. You know, at Green School we've created a whole new model of education. It's a new model of how a school can look. If you haven't seen that, check us out online. How a school functions, like as a community, and definitely a whole new model about what we teach and how we learn in our classrooms. But we believe that schools should be communities that educate for a sustainable future. Schools like Laura are places where students should have fun learning. We see that as an important part, because we believe education is a change mechanism for regeneration. We live in a fast-changing world with increasing complexity of future challenges, and therefore education itself needs to be fast changing. What we've spoken about today is so fast changing, and what Laura's doing in her classrooms, whether it's the literacy or the thematics or the voices production, is fast changing, relevant to the real world. We know that the world needs education to change for the students that we educate and for the planet that we live on. It's with huge gratitude, Laura, for sharing your educator superpower with us today. I think what you do, again, in your literacy and your thematics in voices, what you do to educate for sustainability around social justice issues is so unique and so special and so important for a sustainable future. And it's huge gratitude for you to being here today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was fun, wasn't it?
It was more enjoyable than I thought it was going to be.
Well, we're allowed to have fun too.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I was nervous, people. I was nervous. But yeah, thank you, Sal.
Yeah, you didn't show all that voices preparations. You're an amazing performer. Gosh. Okay, everyone, that's a wrap. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Regeneration Through Education. Take care. Goodbye. And see you again soon. Thank you, Laura. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah see you.
Regeneration through education.